Our scripture reading today comes from Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Ever since I heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. This is the gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God.
Hi. So we're going to do something a little different this morning that I've been really excited about. Over a month, all of Easter season, we have been talking about prayer, and it's been a blast, and it's been so much fun. And if you followed along reading the book, Praying Like Monks and Living Like Fools, the last chapter and the last part of it, the like culmination of the book, ends with something that Tyler Staton calls rebellious fidelity. And it's just a very tough sounding way of talking about just praying without ceasing. And his idea is that in fidelity to Jesus, we would look different than the world because we would be people paying attention to the things of God all the time. We would be people praying all the time. And so he talks about that a lot. And as I was prepping for a series on prayer, I thought that it would be very important for us to hear different voices talk about what prayer looks like in their own life. The reality is I'm a pastor, and so the truth is you pay me to pray, right? Like, we keep calling saying prayer is paying attention to God. You pay me to pay attention to God. This is the reality of the matter. I can talk about it all day. You've heard a ton about my prayer life. Sarah told us about her prayer life last week, but the truth is you also pay her a little tiny bit to also pray. And so my hope was to start having conversations with people that you don't pay to pray about what prayer looks like in their own life. Because I think it's easy to be like, yeah, Lindsay said that, but, you know, we pay her to do that. So I'm going to bring two folks up here, and we're actually going to do this for the next few weeks. For the next few weeks, we are going to, on stage, have conversations with all kinds of people from this church, people who don't go to this church, all about different topics, but every one of them I'm going to ask about prayer so that we can together hear about different ways that people incorporate this into their own lives. So without further ado, I would like to introduce my two very beautiful guests, Andrew Webb and Nick Kessler. Yes. Well, they're not coming. Okay. Andrew, not just a drummer. Nick, not just an elder.
A drummer.
Nick, also
just
a drummer. Okay, I'm going to give you a minute. Will you introduce yourself better than I just did? Who you love, what you do? You go first because your name starts with A.
I'm Andrew Webb, and I love Jesus. Is that the answer?
Yeah, that is the correct answer. Anyone else?
Melissa Webb, yeah. And as of today, I'm not just a drummer.
What do you do for a living?
I am a UPS man.
He's your UPS man.
Yeah, most of you're all UPS man.
Yeah. That sounded kind of creepy.
Yeah. I know where you live.
Very well. Tips welcome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Your turn.
I'm Nick Kessler. I'm married to Kristen Kessler, and I got 100 kids back in there. You've probably seen them as they ran under your legs. I don't get paid to pray, but I probably would start praying if you would pay me. So I don't know why I'm up here. I'm an assistant principal at Maryville Junior High School.
So full disclosure, part of the reason, there are a lot of reasons that I asked these two people up here. One is I tend to have conversations with both of them about prayer and the ways that they pay attention to God in ways that has really like enriched my own life and my own practice. And then another reason, a very sub reason, is that Andrew works like 60 hours a week. I don't know, a billion hours a week. And Nick also works a billion hours a week and has 100 children. And so I want you to know that if you think you are busy, you are, but so are they. Like, very, very busy and still find time to pray. So I'm just going to ask them some questions. We're just going to have a conversation about prayer. So here's my first question. If prayer is paying attention to God, that's how we've defined it week after week, prayer is paying attention to God, how are you paying attention to God in this season of your life?
I guess the first thing that comes to mind is just the stress and anxiety that like work used to cause me. And then once I started recognizing the presence of God first thing in the morning, and then having a daily examine to follow up with, or throughout the day if I'm anxious or something to fall back on, and this just acknowledging that each morning that you are here and I'm with you, and it's not, you know, I'm not the lead character in inviting God into my space. So just acknowledging him, having a community, live, work, play in, I mean, that's why I bid my route, was because of the accountability that my community would have. I'm probably 5 miles from my house every day, so there's a lot of doing the right thing and acknowledging God in every step, every, you know, place the package gently on the front step that might be one of your all's houses. But yeah,
not everybody's doing that.
No. And then, and just seeing what God's doing in the community and with the neighbors that I do get to speak to and oftentimes pray with, or they pray for me more than anything. I've had anointing oil on me and hands laid on me, and it's like, oh, I thought I was going to be praying for these people, and like the community surrounds me, which is why I keep bidding the route that's not so fun.
I love that.
I feel like I've always been a greedy person. Like, I want a lot, and so I feel like since I was a kid, I was always asking God for things a whole bunch. And as I got to a place where I was trying to follow the Lord in a way that was real, I think there was some shame involved in, like, everything I pray for is just all about me. And so I think to answer the question about attentive to God now would be, I think I've found some, I guess just some acceptance of like, hey, he's going to listen. Like, it doesn't, I'm still praying greedily for things that I want. But I guess in finding some acceptance of, the thing that I've been wanting to say in conversation with people more lately about prayer is I've realized he always listens. Like, it doesn't have to. We were talking about answering prayers and whether he answers, like, what you do with unanswered prayers. But I feel like I've never thought that, hey, no matter what, whether he answers it or not, he is always listening. And so I've felt some freedom to just be myself. And so the way that's looked lately, one, nothing is consistent. I told Lindsay, I was like, I don't know why you're asking me. I'm the worst prayer in the church. I am all of your Mississippi, because everything's always going to be better than what's going on in Mississippi. So you're good if I'm up here. And so it's just a...
Anyone from Mississippi?
I am, so it's safe to say that, kind of. And so I'm none of this is consistent, but I would say ideally I've started kind of in the past year just sitting still with God. If I can go 10 minutes, great, but most times just 5 minutes, there's a rocking chair on the back porch, and if I can just sit and be quiet, that to me sounded crazy. Like, it just always felt like, well, I should be saying something or praying for somebody or asking something. But just sitting, I don't know. I was struck by the quote. You read it last week, or maybe, but I read it in this novel last year where Mother Teresa is being interviewed about her time with God and says, when she prays, she just sits and listens. And the person interviewing said, well, what does he say? And he said, nothing. She said, nothing. He just sits and listens. And so I've been trying to do that. And most of the time at the end of the 5 minutes, I have thought about weird things and not just sat, but sometimes I do. And so that's one thing. I also like to walk or run. And attentiveness lately has been the more times that I can not, that everything can be quiet. I'm able to just pray most of the time in like a groan. There's just this... if it's quiet, if I don't have music on in the truck, or if I don't have in AirPods on a run or a walk, things just kind of come out. And prayer?
You said something I want to ask about. Nick was talking about rhythms, and you said something about a morning examine. Will you tell us what an examine is? And like, what do you do? Is that like a rhythm you have every morning? What do you do?
So... I try to, the first thing I do instead of getting on ESPN or Facebook or whatever, like I've moved an audio version of the Daily Examine, and I'm halfway asleep most of the times. And the first line of it is, you are here and I'm with you. So like that's the one thing that just acknowledging, you know, that I'm in God's world. This is God's world. But then it goes on, but it's just been a rhythm of listening and in this, like, not quite awake, but not falling back asleep. But it's been just almost a different side, kind of like the art and music, just a different side of my brain to focus and pray. I don't know, it's working. So I don't plan on stopping it. And it's Dan Wilt's voice, so it works extra special.
We've talked about this, but Andrew and I listened to a similar podcast, and a guy on it talked about how neuroscience tells us that the two most important moments of the day the development of your brain, your consciousness, and your neural pathways. The two most important points or moments of your whole day is the last thing you think about before you go to sleep and the first thing you think about in the morning. So it's interesting to me that you're saying this is like how you begin your morning, because when I heard this, that was a place of like deep conviction for me, because I don't want this to be true, but it is true. Like in my mind, I like, you know, put on a red light and calm myself to sleep and do all the things you're supposed to do so you have a healthy night of sleep. But in reality, I just scroll my phone to fall asleep. And then the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is I wake up to an alarm on my phone and I think, oh crap, where's my phone? And it makes sense to me that in doing that, I am like curating. If the first thing or the last thing you think about at night and the first thing you think about in the morning is curating the consciousness your own consciousness, your own imagination, your own way of thinking about things, then I am curating. Are you laughing at me saying curating consciousness? I am curating a curiosity around my phone. Like, it is not lost on me that I am addicted to my phone, because that's, you know, my first and last thing. And so it seems right to me that it's working if you're giving your first thought to God.
And then adding the evening, the last, and then praying into the Holy Spirit to speak to us in our dreams. And I mean, that's a whole nother, I mean, it's time that everybody has that we're wasting if we don't ask for God to speak to us through that time, in my opinion. Just a drummer.
I like that.
Okay, I got another question for you. This one is kind of specific to the two of you, because you're both artists. I don't know if you would call yourself artists, but you are both artists. Please follow Andrew Webb Inc. on Instagram. Your favorite line artist has an Instagram account. If you want to see Nick's art, you have to become his best friend or his wife, and then maybe once a year you'll get to see a little something. But you are both artists, and whether you do it or not, you are curators and appreciators of art. And so I am curious, would you talk for a little bit about how art allows you to pay attention to God?
As an artist, I do really like art. I'm an artist in the same way that I am a closing pitcher for the St. Louis Cardinals. I really think that I could do it, sometimes better than them, but I do not. And I do copy it in my backyard sometimes. I think, like, as I've thought about, like, the attentiveness question, I think the thing that I want the most in my life, or strive for the most in my life now, is like Sabbath 24/7. And so just moving at a different speed, and my brain moving at a different speed. And so doing anything creative in a healthy way, because there's definitely like things that I do that's like I'm just trying to eke something out. Like, I'm going to cook a good meal, but we've got 15 minutes to do it, so I'm going to scream at everybody while I do it. And then when they don't eat it, I'm going to yell at them that they don't know what culture is. And be mad at a 4-year-old for not liking oxtail. But like when I'm creative in a healthy way, I feel like I'm moving at like a Sabbath speed. And so I think there's something in writing or painting or building something that when I'm doing it that way, it's like both playful and creative. And I feel like those are two things that God is and loves. And so when I do that healthily, it just feels like I'm moving at his speed, and that feels full.
Same? No.
Yeah, I mean, it's the abstract art is, I guess, looking back at my art, even as like a middle school and then college work and stuff like that. Like, I can't always read my own handwriting when I go to a journal, but the art, there's always the brushstrokes or whatever medium I'm using that's just like takes me right back. I mean, it's just like Melissa with music. I mean, she's got a song for every, and I mean, most of us, music ties in, but like just the feeling.
Like, your art acts like a journal?
Oh yeah, for sure. And then this book was also encouraging to journal that way, with doodles and color and more emotion. So it just works with, I mean, clearly as a drummer, I don't get to say words. They don't allow it. unless you're Brad. But just like the feeling of, you know, the feeling of the music or the feeling of the art and the brushstrokes and you can go back and look at journaling and your words and see where you were rushed writing. And so like you can find that emotion within your journaling. But the more abstract, the deeper like the artist is really. Because I get frustrated at museums where you can't talk to the artist and be like, what is that? Like,
are there museums where you can talk to the artist?
Sure. No, I mean, it's
very, very modern.
You're frustrated at every museum.
Frustrated that I'm like, what was, yeah.
I would add, I don't feel like I've done anything original ever. And so anything that I've done creatively has always been copying somebody else, which I say to say, like, so I think in those times it's when I'm the most attentive, because I'm like, if I'm writing something, I'm super attentive to something that happened or what I'm wanting to say. Or if I was trying to paint or draw something, it'd really just be like, hey, I know that I saw Andrew draw like this. I'm going to draw. And so I think there's something about, same thing, if I go to a museum or I'm reading a good novel, it's like, well, I wonder how they do this. And I just think more on that person, which I think, again, is like the idea of enjoying something, not just having joy, but it being a relational joy. I think there's something to that.
Well, and not to be a nerd, but I think maybe I've talked to both of you about this, but I heard Greg say that like neuroscience also sort of proves that there's, you know, we have different systems in our brain, and we have a linguistic system that works in language, but we also have a limbic system that touches into like memory and emotion and compassion and things like that. And one of the easiest ways to turn prayer into something more meditative or something more empathetic is to try to turn off every system but your limbic system. And art connects to your limbic system. So it doesn't matter if it's good art. It doesn't matter if it looks like anything at the end, like squiggles and doodles as prayer can actually tap into places that our words aren't able. You know, if you read through Romans, there's this part in Romans 8 where Paul talks about praying, and he prays groanings too deep for words. He prays these prayers that are like beyond anything that a word could contain. If you've ever had like a really good season of life or a really hard season of life, then you know those prayers well. And I think that art in some ways allows us to tap into that. Like, I'm going, if you're someone who finds that you need to turn your brain off, you work in a profession that is very help oriented or very intense, and you're find yourself like, I need to numb out with Netflix, or I call some books no-brainer books, like just the dumb books that you just read so you don't have to think, autobiographical. Squiggles and doodles as prayer might be a really good practice for you, regardless of if you like art or you've ever liked a piece of art or anything like that. But if you're looking for a way, how can I turn my brain off and just be quiet? If quiet and silence are hard, that might be a good thought. Okay, another question. We spent the last 2 weeks talking a lot about unanswered prayers and God's silence in prayers, and I think that's really, really important, and we'll keep talking about it. But I want to turn that question the opposite way and ask both of you, do you have any, maybe you got a good story or a really small moment or anything where you felt like God listened, like you prayed and God was not silent?
I've been praying for more stage time.
My next question is going to be, what do you want to say? Just kidding.
So, I mean, there's two occasions where I feel like I know that there was healing, and most of us prayed for you, and that was an answered prayer. gives me confidence in, and also fear that every prayer is going to get answered. Because, I mean, oftentimes, like you were saying, like, we realize those prayers shouldn't. I was in the room when Melissa felt healing for her voice and just that power. And, like, it's such a feeling of always, I mean, we've always been told to close our eyes when we pray or whatever, but, like, it's, I don't know, I like it, so leave me alone. Like, if I could, like, put earplugs in, like, as many senses as I can just, like, shut down, because I just feel God more than I, and, like, her healing, I felt it. Yours, like, literally praying at night, like, I just felt that it was, and so many of us, like, that it just wasn't going to be a thing, and just, like, we felt, I felt that everything was going to be okay. And that's what, more than anything, when I, like, if I, I've started trying to have solitude time, and it starts with reading a prayer or lyrics to a song, and then it's just sitting and feeling the presence of God. And that's what, like, every morning doing my examine, that's what I'm just looking for, that feeling, because it's there most mornings, and it's, I'm addicted to it. I mean, that's what it is. So, but yeah, so.
I mean, the first thing that came to my mind was praying for you. Again, I think.
I used to have cancer, and I don't have it anymore. I like to say that every week if possible. So keep going. Sorry.
What is the heart of your question? Like, I feel like I answered your question. I prayed for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something you're wanting to hear?
Yeah, I did not get permission to ask you this, so I apologize. But
did you have permission for the other question?
No, not really. A little. I sent you, you know, I sent you a text. I feel like God's asked me to do some embarrassing things in prayer. I've told you about going to Kroger and feeling like God's like, you got to pray for this lady. And I'm like, no, don't. And this morning it happened. I felt like God very clearly was like, send an audible voicemail, like an audio voicemail to this person and pray out loud on it. And it's another pastor. And I still was like, that's weird. I don't, and you know, but I looked out my window a lot of nights and your truck was sitting in front of my house. And I knew that you were praying for me. Why did you do that? And what was it like? What was the experience? That's the heart of my question, I think. What was the experience of one of your closest friends gets really sick? What do you do?
I would say that the season when you were sick is probably the only time in my life where I felt like, so I have a friend who prays for my family by name every day. And he prays for everybody, and he's so in touch with, like, I don't know, the spirit, it blows me away. And so when I think about praying, people who pray, it's like, oh, I'm being serious when I say, like, I can't imagine being worse at it. But during that season, it was like, oh, no, I battled darkness. But it wasn't like a, and Kristen experienced it too, like it was just our house. It didn't feel like a thing where I set alarms to remind myself to pray. It was more just that praying was done through me. And I don't, that sounds so, like if I was sitting in the audience and heard this a year ago, I'd be like, what? I almost said the wrong words.
Say the bowling iron.
Podcast note, edit that out.
I didn't say anything. I humped.
I felt it.
I would have been like, what are you even talking about? I have an older guy who I look up to, who I would call a mentor, and he'd punch me if I called him that. But we knew someone who had cancer, and one night he just called me out of the blue and was like, hey, do you want to go sit in front of their house and pray with me? And so I'm part of the reason I feel like I've done everything, anything I've done that is bringing the kingdom has all just come from invitation. And so he taught me that, and then it just felt like an obvious thing. But so much of praying for you that was so, I know this is crazy to you, but I'd say like, oh, I got way more out of that than you did. Because it was just a gift that I was doing something that I don't feel capable of doing. And so then when it worked, was it like I had to, the people at work were like, hey, what's wrong with you? Like I had to lock myself in the office because I was just weeping. Does that answer your question some?
Okay, last question. Do you have any resources that you love on prayer? Books you've read, songs or albums you love, podcasts, anything?
I have way too many because I like telling everybody the things that I like and how they're better than everything you like. So I'm going to try and keep my list to three, but if you want to talk later, I will tell you at least 40 that are better than anything you're listening to. There's an app called the Pause app that I like a lot. It's just kind of a meditation / prayer thing put out by John Eldridge and his people. I love that. And then there's a book called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction by Eugene Peterson that goes through the Psalms, the Song of Ascents. And so there was a season years back where me and a friend just memorized those Psalms. And Eugene Peterson to me is like, I don't know, the ultimate hero. And so everything he says, but then that practice, I think, has changed my life because so often I'll realize like I'm just praying words that really I've put in my own words that came from those Psalms. And then the final one would be, I listen to the same podcast like probably 6 or 7 times a year, like the same episode. There's this podcast called On Being. I don't know if it's any good or not, but there's one episode where this lady interviews Eugene Peterson, and he's my hero. If I'm spiraling or in a mess, I just listen to it, and the way he knew Jesus and he's right here with us since is, I don't know, striking.
I didn't know you memorized the Psalms of Ascent. I love that. I think that there is something to, there are seasons, I think we always feel like we have to come up with the words on our own to pray. And one of the gifts of the scriptures and the gifts of the church is that words exist. They already exist in the world for us to pray at any point in time. And so I think that's a major thing, especially I'm going to talk as a woman. Any of you who are home with young babies and you feel like, you would just like to go to the bathroom alone. And so all of this feels like, yeah, memorizing Psalms, cool. They are there, and they are there when you are so exhausted that words can't find a place. So, okay, your turn.
I think it all started with Abide, which we just did, and then...
The song Abide?
Yeah, but then... Reading it as a prayer and the I depend on you part, I found a version where it says it 17 times. And like when you pray it, you start believing it. Saying it out loud, your voice, the tone changes. That was something that also I did that with spiritual director, which spiritual direction is the weirdest thing you'll ever do, but you should do it for a 6-month span. I highly recommend it. And that led me to a lot of written prayers, which just talking to God, it's, I think in the book it even talks about like breathing is neither sacred or secular, and prayer is the same. Like, it doesn't have to start with Dear Jesus and end with Amen. Like, it's just, but a lot of my spiritual direction has been either praying these written prayers or having them prayed over me and then getting lost in the filling of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, anything by Dan Wilt, John Mark Comer, of course. I mean, I feel like the books I did, like Live No Lies, John Mark Comer, and then went through like Henry Now and Thomas Merton, like my path was the right way. So like
not Nick's.
Not Nick's. So talk to me if you want to know how to become closer
we'll
to Jesus.
We'll be having this debate at a coffee shop yeah, one night.
But like
and when nobody attends, we'll also understand.
Yeah, my heroes in the faith are their capes are a little bit bigger than yours. So good luck.
Okay.
On do you have note, a breath prayer right now, you're saying?
I'll get back to you.
Do you?
I do. Yeah.
Do you want to share it?
Yeah, that's going to be Selah. Do you have one right now?
I don't know that I have one consistently. I was telling a friend the other day that for a couple months, my prayer was, Heavenly Father, I'm ridiculous. With the intention of believing that. Because of how much I try to be God and think that it's justified. So that would be one of them.
We'll put that one on Instagram for all. I like it. Okay, thank you. Give these guys an applause. They're the best. Thank you. The thing I heard over and over again, and I hope you did too, is if you're confused on what prayer looks like, so is everyone. And if you aren't sure what to do, do what someone else is doing and try it. It's okay to switch. It's okay to change. So my hope is to expose us to as many different practices, as many different thoughts as we can in the hopes that we will pray, that we will together as a church learn how to pay attention to God. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a minute to try it. We have a rhythm every week here at the Vineyard called Selah. It is just a breath or a pause in our Sunday to just pray, to just pay attention to God for a few moments, all on your own, not with someone just talking at you. And so Nick mentioned breath prayer. Actually, two things. Andrew kept saying something called examine. Examine is just an old ancient prayer. We do it sometimes around here. I put these cards, we have these cards already printed up and they're up on the stage. If you were interested in that, this teaches you how to do an examine. There's lots of online options too. And then these are for breath prayers. And that's what I want to do together just for a moment. Like Andrew said, prayer and breath are as holy, or prayer is as holy and normal and regular as breathing. And so so the way that a breath prayer works is it's something that you can do at any point in your day. If you are someone who deals with anxiety, this is our gift to you, is essentially just training ourselves how to breathe in prayer, how to breathe and pay attention to God. And so what you do is as you inhale, you imagine a phrase in your mind, and as you exhale, you imagine maybe the second part of the phrase or the next words. And by doing this on repeat for 10 seconds, 30 seconds, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever you've got, something happens again with your actual body and your actual brain where you for a moment can disconnect from whatever is owning you and reconnect to the thing that you want to pay the most attention to, which as people of faith, we believe the deepest truth we can pay attention to is to the presence of God in our lives. And so what we're going to do is Daniel's going to play, and on the screen, there's going to be a breath prayer. Dave, will you throw it up there? Oh, good. Okay. So here's the breath prayer. This is called the Jesus prayer. And so it's just a really normal, if you Google breath prayer, this will be the first one that comes up. This is the one that is working for me in this season of my life. So you get it too. So what we'll do for the next few moments, if you will inhale, what is it exactly? Mine is a little different. Jesus, Son of God. And exhale, have mercy on me. That's how mine is. What I don't know what the words exactly say there. Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. And we'll just spend a few minutes. If that's the prayer that works for you, if not, you can do God, I am ridiculous. That would also work. But we're just going to give you a minute to try this out. So for the next 2 or 3 minutes, just breathe in and breathe out. I'm going to pray and bless it. And I'll give you your time. So Jesus, we thank you. And what we know is that you are blessed by our awareness of you, and we are blessed by our awareness of you. And so we ask in these next few minutes, would we become aware of your presence in this room? Would your spirit run deep as we breathe things that are beyond words, prayers that are beyond words?